are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Now here's what Brother Jabril wrote. He says, let's focus for a moment on a few of his words. He said, quote, Islam takes for its base the root meaning of the universe for its religion. End quote. Exactly what did he say? He said that we are or will grow to be living our lives every day based on an understanding of Allah's root meaning of the universal order of his creation. This implies that we will have studied, learned, and practiced the principles of Islam to the point that we will understand how to live with ourselves and with others in accord with Allah's understanding of his root meaning of and purpose for why he has created what he has created. The point is, that's why I study. I'm a novice, but I am trying. I mean, I'm doing it. It's just slow. I'm studying botany, plant life, insect life, animal life, zoology. There's lessons that you can learn with how, for instance, birds fly together or how fish swim in groups. Anyone who's familiar with animals, you know that there's a lot to what I'm saying. So when you say Islam, you have to take into universal order. Take that into account. In the theology of time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would talk about the starry canopy. He talks about how you can study the planets and the movements of stars and how they give signs of something going on inside of the earth among people. But study the movement of planets. You can learn lessons. You can actually get access to the mind of God by studying the creation. So I don't like to get into ritualistic arguments. People say Islam is just praying a certain way, wearing your clothes a certain way. Are you kidding me? Read Surah 67 verse 3. There's no incongruity in, look at the word congruent. Look at the word order. The universe is created in order. Existence is graded and it's congruent. That's how you start in terms of what is Islam. Now, let me hit you with a few words. Look up the word universe when you have a chance. But quickly, I'm going to go through this. Universe, the root, the word means entire or whole. It's from a Latin word, universum. Look up the word law. Law implies a statement of order, a controlling authority that has, so far as is known, is invariable under the given conditions. It is also observed, or the observed, regularity of nature and relation between mathematical and logical expression. Regularity of nature. Just think about that concept. What makes nature regular? What is regularity? What is order? What is the relationship between mathematical and logical expression? Okay, let's look at another word, cosmology. I just want you to look at five words, the root of them, different ways they use. Universe, law, cosmology, order, and religion. So cosmology is a branch of metaphysics that deals with the universe as an orderly system. Again, go back to Surah 67 verse 3. Why is that word order so big in the Quran? We got to get away from ritual. Don't get me wrong, that's important. But in my volume 3 of my book, I go into the meaning of prayer. There's people, I don't say people, us Muslims praying don't know the significance of the movements, the different positions. That's ritualism. That's not religion. If you're doing something you don't know why you are doing it, or if you're doing something that has symbolic meaning that points to a greater principle, you are worshiping a mystery. You are practicing something you don't know, the unknown. Some people are deep into ritual. They know everything, but they don't understand what they practice. So cosmology is a branch of metaphysics that deals with the universe as an orderly system, and it is a branch of astronomy that deals with the origin, structure, and space-time relationships of the universe. Now let's go to religion, very misunderstood word. The root word for religion is religio, a Latin word that means reverence. Now some people say religion means rely on. A lot of my brothers in the Nation of Gods and Earths say that religion means rely on. Therefore, how can you rely on something if you're God? I understand that, but look up the word rely. It means to have, one of the meanings of rely is to have confidence based upon experience. You don't rely on something totally ignorant of its past ability to produce a result. One of the meanings of rely is to have confidence on based upon experience. The root word, though, of religio, the meaning of it is reverence. Now, from what I understand in French, if I have any French speakers out there, religion comes from religere, which means to relink. So there's something in the French word, something in the Latin word. Order means the arrangement or sequence of objects on or of events in time, from the Latin words to lay the ways or log it. That word is ordini, and the medieval Latin is ordini, and it means arrangement, a group or class. Okay, now many ways that Islam was defined by a lot of different people. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has defined it numerous ways. But I just want to give you another one word definition of Islam so that we can cut through the barriers that keep people apart. Because some of us will not go into business with somebody of a different religion. Can I get an amen to that? Some of us, instead of trying to practice the principles of Jesus or Moses or Buddha or Muhammad, do not want to get money with somebody. Let me help you out. What is Islam? August 25th, 1956. Article by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Pittsburgh Courier. I'm still teaching the economics, if you understand what I'm saying here. Because you will not want to go into business with somebody you don't trust. You would not want to go into business with somebody who's not right. Same principle applies. August 25th, 1956, Pittsburgh Courier, what is Islam? Just going to give you a little taste of this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes, he says, it can be answered in one word, righteousness. Boom, that's it. End of the sentence. Boom. Somebody says, what is a Muslim? It's a person who's just trying to do right. What is Islam? One word, righteousness. There's other words, other meanings, but just how about just marinating on that? People inherently understand righteousness. People inherently have a concept, or they're in a process of defining or redefining their morals based upon right or wrong, that which is undesirable, that which is preferred, that which satisfies them, that which dissatisfies them. That's what righteousness is. So again, boom. What is Islam? It can be answered in one word, righteousness. Briefly. You know what? I'm just going to stop right there. I don't even want to get off on another. Let me make the other point. The significance of the name Islam is peace. Look at the word salam or slam. You'll see peace. The significance of it is peace. How do you enter into it? How do you enter into the state of mind known as heaven, or the condition of life known as heaven? It's not a place. It's not a town called heaven. Heavenville. No such thing. It's a state of peace and contentment, or a condition of life. State of mind and a condition of life. And everybody believes in it because everybody complains about what's not right in their neighborhood. You're talking about Heavenville. You want to build Heavenville. Okay, I just want to spend a few minutes on how these concepts, order, contentment, righteousness, law, all of them relate to how you build a business organization. You don't build a business on the basis of mutual distrust, dislike, incongruity, and disorderliness. So I just offered Surah 67 verse 3 up for study. I'm going to take a commercial break. Brzake. I'm going to catch up on your comments. We're going to review the new Ghostface Killah album next hour. And I want to remember Mr. Magic and share a few memories of his impact on my life. If you have some Mr. Magic memories, let me know. I hope you get something out of what I just expressed. Another one of the, for Joseph from Brooklyn, another one of the barriers as it relates to, I would say, the black community, but really all societies, because I can point to this in Africa, they have a brain drain problem, they call it. A lot of the professionals, I'll give you an example, something I just learned. There's more Ethiopian doctors living in Chicago than in the entire country of Ethiopia, and that's 80 million, I believe. Why are there more Ethiopian professionals in the form of doctors outside of Ethiopia? What is that all about? There's a disconnection between the professional and the masses. So before I take a break, let me... we haven't played this in a while, but I want to play on the recognized birth, because there's questions about the birth certificate. And back in those days, it was hard to keep records. When was that? When was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad actually born? You can get some of that history on NOI.org and other websites. But one of the things that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is trying to do, what Minister Farrakhan is trying to do, which Marcus Garvey tried to do, was unite the professional class, quote-unquote class, with the rest of the people, the learned, the educated, the professional. Africa has the same problem. You have a disconnected mass from its professionals. Here is from a Theology of Time talk, Honorable Elijah Muhammad pleading with the professionals. I'm pleading with you too to do something for yourself. These 7.2 million jobs that have been lost since 07 are not coming back, many of them. Listen up.
We're very happy to have such professional people as you with us this afternoon. We are the people who have respect and honor for all that visit us. And when the professional class of people visit us, we want you to know that we honor you and respect you for your visiting. We need you. We are not the people that know all. We are the people that would like to learn and let learn. This is the type of people that we need now to help us. Yes, to help us. We want all the professional class of people to come join up with us. Help put the job over. You have the type of help that we need. And we are working for you. Come in and help us to work for you. We are building everywhere something like signs of our work that we are doing in the name of divine. These people of this type of profession, I thank you. You are the one I want to talk with.
Okay, I'm backed up on comments. A Rod from Culver City, California. He says, lessons to be learned from last night's Shark Tank episode. He says, it shows. Now, look, I tweeted last night about entrepreneur number 4. I tweet during Shark Tank. But Rod from Culver City, California has given a nice overview of his assessment of the show. Says, lessons to be learned from last night's Shark Tank. The Note Hall segment shows that all money is not good money. and choose your associations based on their authenticity first. These two young guys knew their market from the inside and were secure enough to turn down more money for a partnership with someone who they felt was more real personally. The TC Pet segment reveals the power of preparation and knowing what you need to go to the next level. This entrepreneur was thoroughly conversant in her product knowledge and had all of her ducks in a row, to the point that she had answers for every pertinent question posed by the sharks. She recognized what she needed and chose the right shark to be associated with. The FUBU shark, as Damon, had heavy manufacturing and distribution strengths and was the first or the right choice. The THROX segment indicated how to avoid being a novelty niche or niche without a feasible business concept. The sharks wasted no time recognizing frivolity and denied this guy real quick. Now, the one that I focused on, entrepreneur number four, Rod says, the washed up Hollywood segment showed how it takes more than a good product to create a promising atmosphere for venture capital investment. If you personally have an inflated sense of self-worth and show yourself to be abnormally self-absorbing, it's not worth investing in your business. If it's not worth investing in you, can you say Trevor Ariza? That's terrible. Trevor Ariza connected with the washed up Hollywood belt buckle maker. Last night, Shark Tank episode synopsis brought to you by Rod from Killer Cali. Now, I mean, I'm not stretching it now, but if that entrepreneur, the washed up Hollywood segment, if that Caucasian had been feeding from the self-improvement study guides of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he would not have been so abnormally self-absorbed as Rod says. Mike Millions, NYC. He says, this is the book I've been waiting for all of my business, economic, and entrepreneurial life. May Allah bless you in your book with supreme success. Mike Millions trying to make me break down and cry. Thank you so much, Mike. May Allah bless you too. And MJ from Houston is with me. We are starting a movement against nonprofit anity. It is a religion. MJ says, teach on that nonprofit BS. Again, everybody, why anytime you want to do something positive in the hood or provide a service, you get steered into being a nonprofit? Nonprofit anity. Amilcar from Lauderhill, Florida. Amilcar says, I was thinking the same thing when the belt buckle Wholesale Hollywood. Is that his name? Not Wholesale Hollywood. I'm just making up stuff. Washed up Hollywood. Amilcar is talking about Washed up Hollywood, the belt buckle entrepreneur. Amilcar says, I was thinking the same thing when he did not even have a counter offer. I sensed a certain arrogance on his part. You all are really zooming in on the self-absorption of that entrepreneur, the fourth one last night. Amilcar says, I sensed a certain arrogance on his part. Juxtapose him with the lady with the stuffed toy who gave up a lot more than she originally wanted, but she saw the big picture. Shark Tank is now my favorite show. Kevin from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Brother Kevin says, congrats on the book. Thank you, Brother Kevin. And Rod has a question. He says, how would you go about marketing, managing, and maintaining the Chinese system of real estate ownership where you can own a house but only for a period of 70 years? Ownership is transferable, but the 70-year cycle remains. Plus, the land may not be owned privately. Well, I don't think I want to go and take my endorsement of what I said the Chinese had gotten right about collective plot farms or collective farming. They got it relatively better than the Soviets and the Cubans have. But China has a lot of work to do. They have to reform the one-child policy. As we read a writing previously from Reuven Brenner, the one-child policy in China has affected the growth of family businesses. It's affected entrepreneurship. So they've got to reform that. And then any system, Rod, where wealth and capital cannot be transferred or passed down, up to a point I have a problem with. Now, in the Quran, oh, this is big, big time. I wish I could get into this. One day, maybe we'll do it. The inheritance laws of the Quran are intricate. Why? 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 To all the students of the Quran, why are the inheritance laws of the Quran so intricate? 1/6 goes here, 1/5. If it's a woman, she's without husband, it's this amount. Why? Why is it that intricate? It's because it's that important. The transference of wealth in a community over time, big issue. Your concept of the right way to do that affects individual risk-taking and wealth redistribution. I'm of the view that part of your wealth belongs to a community and part of it belongs to you. Now, what ratio, what amount? You have to determine that. Whether you use charity, whether you use taxation, whether you give different status to different members of your community. In Islam, non-Muslim minority members can be taxed, but maybe not forced or asked to enlist in the army. They pay to live in that Islamic empire or that Islamic society. Big subject for another day. I believe that the African Union, and I've presented this, the African Union needs to look and act more like an empire, providing certain rights and privileges to members of that empire. A uniform commercial code to a degree. Rod says that this is very heavy, heady stuff you're discussing now. It shows your broad and in-depth analysis of the subject matter without sounding too cheesy. It is worthy of university studies. Well, we do have Black Electric Economics University, and I owe the students a lesson. Semester 2 of Black Electric Economic University will begin in January. It will be based upon my book and Shark Tank, all the Shark Tank episodes. And if they sue me for building it around the show, it will only make me bigger. So hopefully they'll either participate or sue me. That'd be awesome. Glenn from Philly says, Peace said, this might be slightly off topic, but in regards to the Islamic system, I had a question about the origins of capitalism in general. Adam Smith is generally given credit for developing free market theory and capitalism, etc. But did it in fact originate first with the economic theories of Ibn Khaldun? Stop the bed, kill the bed. Glenn from Philly again. Damn. Let me put the camera on me. Is the camera off me? Oh, the camera's off me. Okay, put the camera on me. I had to talk to Glenn from Philly. Yo, Glenn, are the Phillies winning? Let's get our priorities in order. Phillies update. Are the Phillies winning or losing? I'm riding with Cliff Lee, even though I wanted Roy Halladay. I have a Phillies cap. I may bring it out next week if the Phillies act right. Glenn from Philly, again, kills it with this comment. I had a question about the origins of capitalism in general. Adam Smith is generally given credit for developing free market theory and capitalism, but did it in fact originate first with the economic theories of Ibn Khaldun? Well, Ibn Khaldun was a Muslim historiographer, I believe from Tunisia or Tunis, that part, Northern Africa. 14th century, I think. Ibn Khaldun, in my estimation, and I told Jude Winiski this, we have this documented, we were in Florida, I told Jude Winiski that Ibn Khaldun, the Muslim historiographer, and that's Ibn, I-B-N, and then Khaldun is K-H-A-L-D-U-N, he was the first person to put forth what supply-side economists call the Laffer curve, that basically lower taxes produce a higher revenue. Also, Ibn Khaldun is the one that said that God himself made gold and silver in a certain quantity so that human beings would be able to always go to them as stores of wealth. Ibn Khaldun. Now, Ibn Khaldun runs circles around Arnold Toynbee. People say Arnold Toynbee. Am I saying it right? Toynbee. great historiographer. No, Ibn Khaldun is the foundation of that. So Jude, when I said this, we were at a bar. Now, the bar in a hotel. I was having cranberry and ginger ale. I don't know what Jude was drinking. But as soon as I said that to him, he said, oh, yeah, Reagan used to quote him all the time. So Ibn Khaldun, not Republican supply side, not conservative free market, whatever. Muslim historiographer Ibn Khaldun, and I'm sure it was probably an African in the Abyssinian Empire before him. So yes, Glenn, the economic theories of Ibn Khaldun, political and historiographical. And MJ from Houston says, yes, I was saying the study guide title wrong. It's self-improvement, the basis of community development. Basis of, not basis for. Okay, Glenn from Philly, update. The Phillies are tied 0-0. Colorado Rockies, I believe. Cliff Lee holding it down, evidently. Send in your comments. Hope we've covered a stimulating array of subject matter. Let me, I wasn't going to do this, but let me give you a little taste of a discussion. There's a big Islamic finance conference going on right now. I think I want to play more of this audio next week. You know what? I'm going to save this. Let me go to a story from France 24, one of my favorite stations, French. Oh, by the way, oh, I've been meaning to talk about this. Folie Bar Thibault, the beautiful newscaster on France 24. It's a sister. Let's see if I can put her picture up. You see her? That's her right there. We have other pictures of her. They show her on a side with a mirror so that when you look at her, you can see the mirror. She always has jeans on. Now, why is this? I've never seen an announcer have this. Anyone watch France 24? Any of my French viewers? What is up with this? Why Folie, they always had to show her in jeans. And the mirror, it's a mirror. It's so blatant, you know what I mean? Anyone seen this, let me know. France 24, Folie, of course, very beautiful. But she's the only newscaster that they put a mirror behind. So this thing is so gangster, man. That's not a good picture of her either. I had to put a better picture of her up. I forget what I was saying. Oh yeah, let me get to this France 24 report on religious tolerance or intolerance in Egypt. I don't know. I tell my African friends, even though there's tension between Christians and Muslims in Black America, we don't have problems like this. You all could learn something from us in America. We just don't relive the crusade. Some of us try now. There are some Muslims and there are some Christians that try to relive the crusades, but they've never really been successful. I mean, we tell some hard truths about one another. Christians point out some contradictions and inconsistencies with Muslim behavior and vice versa, or vice versa.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.